We are at a very critical time in the year, and it's important to understand how and why what we are doing. What I'd like to do is in this shira, the art of forgiveness, is to go explore three things. What, why, and how. Very simple. What, why, and how. I'd like us to all come out of the end of this thinking and understanding the notion, the importance of what forgiveness is, why it's so important, and how to achieve it. Somewhat sounding simple, not as simple as it may appear. The starting point is a very crucial Mishnah, which we're familiar with the end of in Maseches Yomos on Pei Hei Amud Beis. This is the last Mishnah in the Maseches, and it tells us the following. The first line is not going to be our focus as much, but let's just go through it quickly. The person who says, you know what, Yom Kippur is coming, I'll do whatever I need to do, and I will do tshuva when the right time comes, it doesn't work. Right? Interesting question is, why in the mechanics? This is not a penalty. This is actually in the mechanics it doesn't work. So the question would be interesting why that is. A person who says, Erev Yom Kippur mechaper, and Yom Kippur mechaper. So the person says the same thing, I'm going to sin, Yom Kippur is going to come, everything's going to be fine, it's not going to be fine. So that's what we are told. Now, let's go a little further. This is the part that's relevant to us. Averos shebein adam lemakom yom kippurim mechaper. The averos which are between a person and Hashem, Yom Kippur is mechaper. And of course, there's a formula for that. If you click on this phrase in the Gemara, the hyperlink opens up the entire procedure. It's not so simple. You have to do vidu, that's to be charata and a kabbalah la'asid, and then there's certain things which require additional measures. But in general, what happens is Yom Kippur is the milestone for this. However, but when it comes to, we'll call it social crimes, right, between humanity, then you have to wait until you actually do it. You actually speak to the person and achieve forgiveness. Rabbi Lozben Azari said the following, he dashed in the pasuk, from all your sins in front of Hashem, you will become pure. When it comes to between you and God, that Yom Kippur takes care of. When it comes to you and your friend, that Yom Kippur does not take care of until you speak to your friend, until you appease them. And finally, the famous part of the Mishnah, which we all know, is Amar Rabbi Akiva, Shrechim Yisrael lefinei me'atem mitarim, umi mitar eschem. Wonderful. Rabbi Akiva says that we are praiseworthy. Think about how incredible it is that we are purified in front of Hashem. In front of Hashem. There's a lot of relevance and historical relevance as to what Rabbi Akiva is saying. Not for now. What the major problem with this Mishnah is the following. The major problem with the Mishnah is that what is Rabbi Lozben Azariah saying or adding? Look at the words of Rabbi Lozben Azariah. Rabbi Lozben Azariah essentially is repeating what was just said in the Mishnah, right? The Mishnah told us that in order to work out the problems between you and your friends, you would need to ask for forgiveness. Now we started dealing with this topic by Mincha Lamar a few days ago, but it sounds like Rabbi Lozben Azari is merely repeating the same thing and adding a pasuk. But if he was simply adding the pasuk as the source of it, what should he have said? He should have said Shenemar, as it says in the pasuk, right? Zu Dorash Rabbi Lozben Azari sounds like he's coming along and he's discovered America. What did he just discover? He is repeating verbatim essentially what had just been mentioned. And which leads, and this is the starting point of this discussion in the why section, why this is so important. We started discussing this a few days ago, but let's actually delve into it properly. There's a pirush called the Rif. The Rif on the Gemara is the Rif, the halachic code at the back of all Gemara, which puts the Gemara into a halachic framework. The Rif will usually leave out Agadita, unless it's relevant to halacha. That's Rav Yitzhak Alfasi. Happens to be, this is not the same Rif. The Rif over here is the Rif who's found at the bottom of the Ein Yaakov. He's a Pirush on the Ein Yaakov, and his name is Rav Yeshaya Pinto. And he has a Pirush, and this is an old, this is not contemporary Rabbi Shai Pinto. This is from many centuries ago. He said the following. He asks the same question, and we're not going to do this paragraph, the entire paragraph. I want to just start from essentially two lines down in the wide lines. Venira la'anios daiti. See that? Venira la'anios daiti is an abbreviated word. It's just after a period and a gap. And it's two lines into the wide lines. Venira la'anios daiti, in the top of page 2. Shereb Elazar ben Azariah Darash Hamikra Umimenu Shana Loimar. He learned the pasuk and he came out with this, the following conclusion: Shaveru Sheben Adam Lamakom Yom Kippurim Machaper. If there's a transgression, an infringement between you and God, you know what, Yom Kippur does work that out. However, Uvizman Sheyesh Lagam Kein Averu Sheben Adam Lachaveroi. If you at the same time you concurrently have on your scale sins towards your friends, Tluyim Kaporas Avonaisov Sheben Adam Lamakom Ad Sheyiratze Lachaveroi Amash Shechata Im Chaveroi. Everything you did between you and God is waiting in the balance until you sort out the problem you had with your neighbors or your friends or your parents or your spouse, whatever it is. That's what the Rif says. V'kevon shu miratze oisoi, mefaisoi, ozak kodesh baruchu misratze lo lachaper avonosov shechoto benoi levein hamokom baruchu. And only once you've done that can you now achieve a real atonement between you and God. Is that unbelievable? It's an astonishing statement. I mentioned this before. It's an astonishing statement. He is saying, and by the way, he goes on to explain how it fits in the words. The pasuk he's taking is the pasuk, "Kiba yamaze yachaper alechem l'tareskem mikol tachazo hazeichem lifnei Hashem titaru." You're going to be purified in front of Hashem, and you're going to be purified in front of Hashem. The pasuk repeats, "Mikol chatoseichem lifnei Hashem titaru." So it talks about the atonement twice. So he explains that the reason is because the only way to get all your sins are cleaned by Hashem is, Livnei Hashem Titaru, is if you've already come to Him in a pure state, meaning you sorted out your debt with everybody else before you come to Him about the debt with you and Him. That's why he darshens the pasuk, which is why the Mishnah emphasizes Ezu Dorash Rebbe Elazar ben Azariah. Because Rebbe Elazar ben Azariah isn't repeating what the Mishnah just said. What the Mishnah said is that there's two debtors, and you speak to the one about your one debt and the one about your other debt. So does Rebbe Elazar ben Azariah? No! You can't come in front of Hashem unless you sorted out the previous existing debt. Unbelievable. Unbelievable statement. The ramifications are monumental, if you think about what he is saying. Very scary implications. Lahalocha, we're going to get to it in a moment. Lahalocha, if he is accepted, a lot of people disagreed with him. One being the Birkei Yosef, Rav Yosef Azulai, the Chida, would say in his halachic piece on Shulchan Aruch in Tafresh Vav, in the next source, he says, the last line, Vani Omer Loi Nichole Lemoraihu Bahachi. He doesn't think that this is, you can even say something of such gravity. We're going to get to the halachic implications. But what you do see here is an incredible thing.
He's saying that you can basically even though you're an
oyster for video. Well, what he's saying is that the two are independent cheshbonas. You're not getting rid of that half, but the point is that you're not completely stuck, says the Birkei Yosef, until the point that you've worked out the Ben Avna Chavera. That meaning you can work on each independently. That's where the Birkei Yosef ends it. What was that?
But that doesn't fit in with the words. If you look in the source number one, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah says exactly the same words. The words are not different enough to
correct.
Make a different right.
Correct. So says the Rif. That's why he's quoting the Pasuk. And the Pasuk implies there's two levels of Tara, and you can only get Mikol Chatos Seichem if now Shem to Tara. That's the way it is. You're welcome to take a look inside and read the Rif in its extent. It is an extensive research. It's a fascinating discussion. I want to get more to the core of what he's saying, rather than trying to analyze, you know, what it is. There's obviously something he's adding. So the Rif is providing us what he is adding. Now, interesting. Now let's take it a little further. This is the gravity of the statement is incredible. What it sounds like, and to me, this is just my own observation, is it almost sounds like the flip side of a very famous Gemara that we know. The Gemara in Shabbos tells us that there was a particular convert or prospective convert, and Shabbos Lamed Aleph Lamed Aleph, he comes to both Shammai and Hillel HaZaken, and he wants to convert, and his condition is, "Rabbi, convert me while I stand on one foot." Right? The Shammai's response is, right, so actually, if you want to be specific, the Shammai actually chases him out with a building rod, Amasa Binyan. That's actually significant. I'll come back to it in a moment. But yes, they basically get out. And then Hillel says, "Kol madasonich lach, lachavach lo yisavid." If you don't like it to yourself, don't do it to your friend. That's what Hillel says. "Kol ilach pirusha zil gomor." Everything else is just simply an expansion, an explanation, a derivation. Go and learn the rest of it. What's the problem with Hillel? What's the problem with Hillel? Hillel, you know, it's very true. The Avtalarecha Kamoicha, which essentially is the positive parallel of what he had just said, is a very important mitzvah, and it probably is, as the Ramban says, one of the most all-encompassing mitzvahs, which encompasses most of your social, the social order of the Torah. However, that only gets you half of the Torah. Maybe a third, if you want to say about, I don't know, Atzmai, where that fits in as well. But in the end of the day, you're not encompassing the entire picture. Hillel is pulling the wool over the man's eyes. He's saying to him, don't worry, Judaism's all about social good. What about God? What happened to good old Shatnez? What happened to Kilayim? What happened to all the good Shmita? What happened to anything else which has got nothing to do with social order? That's the problem. That all the Mephoreshim struggle was. Says Rashi. What does Rashi say in the Gemara? How's Rashi already addresses this? What does Rashi say in that Gemara as to how to resolve it? When you see the pasuk v'after Reacha Kamoicha, who's Rea? Says Rashi, Rea not mean Rea as in your dearest, who's Hashem. Meaning v'after Reacha Kamoicha doesn't just mean to say your neighbor; it also means to say the ultimate Rea, which is referring to Hashem. So encompassed in v'after Reacha Kamoicha is Hashem. It's fascinating. He doesn't actually quote the pasuk itself. That would be easier if that was the pasuk he was quoting. What you do see, interestingly enough, in that pasuk is, what's the end of that pasuk? In that pasuk is, Loisikon v'loisik Torahs b'nei amecha v'avta recha kamoecha ani Hashem. Isn't it interesting that in the pasuk of, we'll call the most encompassing, we'll call it social, moral dynamic, over here is ani Hashem at the end, where God is in the picture. So it's almost like the pasuk is saying that embedded into that is me. That's where I am. Is that, that's what the pasuk seems to be saying. So how so? So I was at a conversation with Mr. Weinstein the other evening, and Mr. Weinstein was mechavin to a Pri Chadosh. A Pri Chadosh is one of the later Pirushim on the Shulchan Aruch, usually found in the modern Shulchan Aruch, so the very back, a long essay he has on Siman Tav Reish Vav, a very simple cheshbon, and that is that, that, you know what, God likes me, and God likes you. So that means to say, if I insult you, I'm essentially insulting you and God, because God likes you, meaning you're created in His image. So if I'm insulting somebody else who has His image, I'm essentially hurting Hashem's image, so to speak. So therefore, in order to be able to create peace, what I need to do, I need to speak to Him for Him and God as well, meaning that there's an infringement on both sides. Perhaps a different way of looking at that. This is the Mishnah Chochma says in the Torah on this very same pasuk. We went through this a little while back. And that is that the ultimate expression of God in the world, says the Mishnah Chachma, is synthesis. Is when everything in the machine works completely together, that's when you see God in the world. And that includes human beings. So if you're able to create synthesis, then ultimately, therefore, there is Ani Hashem. I'm there when there is V'avta Re'acha Kamoicha. So if you're able to create that type of synthesis, then yes, that's where I am. That's the link between the two of them. What's the limitation within this way of thinking? This doesn't help us fully, though. Think about this. What's the limitation? The Pre-Chadosh and the Mishnah Chochma. What is that? What are they doing? They say they're injecting Ben Adam Lamakom into Ben Adam Lachavera. But what's the limitation with that?
There's no singular Ben Adam
Lachavera. Oh, so you mean what you're saying is there's no such thing as a Ben Adam Lachavera. But that's fine. I'm all right with that. That's why they're saying every Ben Adam Lachavera essentially is a Ben Adam Lamakom. What is he not saying? He's not saying that every Ben Adam Lamakom, everything between you and God is also Ben Adam Lachavera. So when it comes to, let's say, Boss of a Cholav, you know, and you in the, you know, the darkest, deepest corner of your basement, decide one day, Rachman and Lisan, you know, you're going to eat milk and meat, a cheeseburger, right? So over there, in that case, in that instance, right, there's not really a Ben Adam Lachavera there, right? There's not really a Ben Adam Lachavera. But the riff, if you want to read the riff very carefully, and in fact, Rabbi Vadi Yosef points this out, the riff is saying more than what the Mishnah Chochma and the Pre-Chadosh are saying. The Pre-Chadosh and the Mishnah Chochma are saying that every sin between human beings has a God component. The riff is saying that even the God components, the God sins themselves, independent of any friends, are waiting. That basement cheeseburger is going to be waiting until you've sorted out your neighborly issues, which have got nothing to do with each other. That's how far he's going. That's Ad Kedei Kach. So in thought, there's many, many answers. One of the answers I like, and there's an incredible amount of them, is the answer, and I mentioned this recently, is the Tanya. The Alter Rebbe would say that he has a section in Tanya called Likutei Amorim. Likutei Amorim is divided up into, I think, 53, 54 parakim. It's important to know that because they say it's the amount of days he had in jail. But the 32nd one, Leiv HaTanya, is it discusses exactly that Gemara on Shabbos Lamed Aleph about that ger, and he says that the reason why Hillel could say that the entire Torah is encompassed in Vav Torecha Kamocha is because the degree that I'm able to come close to Hashem enables me to understand how close I am to you. Because ultimately, if you are an expression of Hashem, and I'm an expression of Hashem, therefore how can I hurt you? When I'm hurting somebody else, it's a deficiency in my closeness to God. That's what's essentially going on. The way I always look at it in a very crude way of looking at it is if you take dough and you squish the dough through a colander, it comes out in strings, right? But it depends which side of the colander you're on. If you're at the bottom, you just see lots of strings. If you're at the top, you just see one piece of dough. So the question is that we're being asked is, where are you? Meaning, if you're able to insult other people, then you think you're disparate, you think you're dissimilar. The closer you get to God, the more clear it's going to be, the lines between people disappear. That's what the Tanya says. He doesn't mention the dough. So he comes back to what we say in the liturgy, which is, Baruchenu Avinu Kulonu Ke'echad. How do we get the bracha of Hashem? Meaning, how do we get closeness to Hashem? Is Kulonu Ke'echad, if we're all together. Now, it happens to be, in the end of the day, this riff is not Paskin Halacha, according to most of the Paiskim. And in fact, even within his own logic, he goes on to say the following. That what is Rabbi Akiva now saying? Rabbi Akiva, who says, Ashrechem Yisrael lifnei atem mitarim, mimitar eschem, what Rabbi Akiva is essentially doing is he's commenting on the end of that Pasuk, lifnei Hashem titaru, and he's saying it doesn't mean to say that you need to come to Hashem in a clean state on a social level. He's saying, it's just a praise. It's saying, wow, look at you, Israel. Therefore, Rabbi Akiva himself is saying, Rabbi Akiva is arguing on Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. And what do we know in Halacha when it comes to a machlokes Rabbi Akiva v'chavei roi, when Rabbi Akiva and a colleague argues? We know that Halacha is? We pass him like Rabbi Akiva. So even within the logic of the riff, many point out, really we should not pass him like this. The reason why it's important to learn this riff is because even if you're going to disagree with him, what he's saying still has a resonance. The Pri-Chalash, what you're saying, the Mishra Chochma, still is still very much true. That part of it doesn't disappear. And that is that very much integrally linked are Abedon Lemokums and Abedon Lechaveres. We sometimes need love where it's easier to speak to God and it's harder to speak to friends. And that's what the riff is emphasizing over here. That's the why. Let's jump straight now into the how. This Emes Hashem should be just pretty practical. The Gemara tells us the following. The Gemara tells us in Yuma itself, commenting on this Mishnah in Source 7. Let's start from there. Amar Rav Chisra. Rav Chisra would tell us, Tzarech lefayis avi shloisha shiroz shil shloisha adam, b'nei adam. You need to go in front with three groups of three people and to seek appeasement from your friend. Sheneemar, yoshar al anoshim v'yomer chatasi v'yosher hevesi v'loi shavali. It's a pasuk from Iyov. Rashi points out that the word Yashar comes from the word Shura, which is a line, and you can't really have a line with less than three people, right? If you have two people, it's really a group. You know what I'm saying? If you've got three, then you can really say we have a line. So how do you have a line is if you have three people, and referring to the notion of how Iyov comes clean. Amar Rabbi Yossi ben Bar Chanina, if a person is seeking appeasement from his friend, there's a statute of limitation over here, and that is that you don't need to do it more than three times. You shouldn't do it more than three times. Shenemar, as it says, this is actually a pasuk in Bereishis Nun. Who's asking for forgiveness in Bereishis Perek Nun? Just as interestingly enough,
brothers,
right? Fantastic. What happens is this is the end of Bereishis, and the brothers now are in a place. They're actually in a very dark corner right now because Yaakov Avinu has just passed away, and now what's going to stop Yosef from taking real retribution, right? So that's when they approach Yosef, and they ask for forgiveness. And we see from here that there were three times that they approached him from the word na. They begged him three times. Ah, na, na, and na. Now, from this, is actually you see something very interesting. You see something very interesting from this Gemara before we go even further. And that is, who should take the first step? Meaning, how do you broach the first step? What's the first thing? You've hurt your friend. You need to resolve it. So what do you do? What's the first thing you need to do? Is... Right, okay, so that's a good question, exactly. So coming back to that is, can you're sending a letter. But let me ask you another question. Do you come with those three people first round? Right? Do you come with those first people first round?
No.
Not, right? Why are you saying no? You have to have a conversation first, meaning you need to be able to actually broach the person themselves. The way the Rambam quotes it sounds very much like what you're saying. The Rambam is to be found. Oh yeah, the top of the next page actually. The Rambam says the way he quotes it is, Yom Kippur doesn't help you in Beron Lachaver, aval Avera Shabbaton Lachaver, I could go and Achavel Beschaver, I'm a Kalo Chaver, I goes like Kayatzaboyan, and a Nimchola Loyla Oilam Achiyitan Lachaver, Mashu Chayav Loyviratsayu. A person needs to return what was damaged or pay out for the damage and appease them. So and then Rambam goes on to say, Aval Bishirzil Maman Chayav Loyitzarich Liratsayu, Vilishom Imenoshim Choloy. And he goes on to say that he needs to bring three people afterwards. So it sounds like from the Rambam that the first step is have the conversation. It might be that a letter might suffice. That's what Pois can deal with that, interestingly enough. It depends on, depends on how effective that's going to be, or perhaps the type of crime. But it sounds like that you need to be going the first time yourself. But it's interesting because if you go back to the Yosef episode, which this pasuk is brought from, that's why I'm stopping over here, is in the first place when this was being cited, what actually happened there? They didn't go. They sent a messenger the first time. Interestingly enough. Okay, so this is just an interesting point. Is if you go to the sources itself, in the Torah itself, although the Rambam and the Ein Yaakov and many others say you should go yourself first, in the source itself, it sounds like the brothers sent a messenger. Why would they send a messenger? They were afraid. They were terrified. Right? They felt that maybe even their presence would perhaps exacerbate the issue rather than mitigate. Right? That's perhaps what was going on over there. So the poets can deal with this. This is one of the examples. Another example where you see this talked about is by Aaron HaKohen. What did Aaron do? Aaron didn't need to make peace between people. So what would he do? You go to this one and that one behind their backs and talk about the whole business. Right? What he did not do was say, why don't you meet for tea at 3 o'clock, at Central Perk, and then the other one would be at the same time, and oh, look at that, and then they put them... He did not do that. Right? What he did was he went behind their backs and he created the peace beforehand. So, what a number of the points I've seen, what the Matei Ephraim says, what the Rabbi Vadi Yosef says, the Mishra Berurah himself says, is that it depends on the situation. It depends on the situation. In certain instances, it's actually more effective and it's more meaningful where you go yourself. But sometimes the crime might be so painful or so disturbing that going yourself is just going to create more problems. So therefore, in that case, maybe it's more likely to say send him a friend of his. Or maybe send somebody who is who that person respects, who might be able to broach the conversation to start it off. The sensitivity you see over here, just within even the phrasing of the Rambam, and this pasuk cited in the Gemara create that tension. They were just the way the Mishnah Berurah actually says it himself, just to see it very clearly, is in source. It's on page 4 in source 2. We start the sources again, apparently. The Mishnah Berurah says, "Lefayis of anochon sheelach ba'atzmai." Really, really default is you should go by yourself. If it's too difficult to go yourself. And there's somebody else who's going to be who's going to achieve the goal much in a better and more stately manner, then you should send that other person. Again, where does this come from? Once again, just the reading of this Gemara and looking at that pasuk where it's quoted from is what the Pesachim are dealing with in this particular issue. Let's go a little further. That's stage number one. The Gemara then continues to say, What happens, Rachmana Litzlan, if the person is no longer there, right? The person is no longer available for atonement or for mechila. So that the Gemara says in the third line, back in source 7, v'imeis, mevi asar b'nei adam umamidon al kivra v'omer chatasi l'ashem l'kei Yisrael v'liploni shechavalti boy. You admit in the presence of his grave or in the person that person's grave that in front of 10 people that you did a terrible thing. And that's the way to achieve atonement. I mean, you can imagine, just think, it sounds, okay, you read the words. Think about trying to do that. I mean, that's, how embarrassing that must be to find 10 people. I mean, even your closest friends, let's say, you get people who support us and know you that you're a good guy or, you're a good person. You know, like that's a very degrading thing to have to do, which leads to the next story. Oh yeah, yeah, yes. If that would be yes, for sure, that's probably why people do it there, is because there's a group of people you can do it in front of. Correct. It's no question. The reason why this is so important is this story, this next story, captures perhaps the essence of what's going on over here. Rabbi Yirmiyah havalei milsa leRabbi Abba b'hadei. So Rabbi Yirmiyah, in some way, there was a problem that Rabbi Abba had with him, and ozal isiv adasha deRabbi Abba. So what he did was he went and he sat by the doorpost of Rabbi Abba because he wanted to appease him, but he didn't go in. He sat on the by the doorstep. Bahadi deshadya amse maya mata zarzufe maya areshe. What happens is his house help is busy washing the floors or washing something, and water gets sprayed on his head because he's waiting by, you know, he's probably doing sponger, and he gets the dirty water. Omar asauni ka'ashpa. They're making me like a garbage heap. Kora anafshe me'ashpos yorim evyon. From the dust heaps, Hashem will rise up the poor person. Shomer Rabbi Abba b'nofik la'apei. Rabbi Abba hears that this has just happened. He walks out. Omalei hashtot zrichina lemeipak adaitach dekosiv deksiv loch hisrapes v'rahav re'echa. Says Rabbi Abba, I'm now indebted to forgive you because you've come, you've made yourself humble in front of me. Now, this perhaps is really the foundation of what's going on over here. Is why is that you need to bring three people in the first place? Why is that in a case where a person is no longer there, you need to bring ten? What's the underlying point over here? Think about it. Meaning, why can't the other fellow, the insulted party, just say in his head, you know what? The goodness of my heart, you know, let dead dogs lie, and that's it. So what? So it doesn't happen so easily. But in the end of the day, why is this different? Says Rav Moshe Sternbach in understanding this Gemara. You know what's happening? Is because in order to achieve this, there needs to be some aspect of degradation, self degradation, to be able to enter into the kapara stage, meaning. If he's able to, and within a conversation, that's fine, that's wonderful. But if there's a lack of willingness, there needs to be a one step of humbling of oneself in order to be able to get there. And what could be more humbling than the fact that other people need to know that there was this tiff between the two of you? So therefore, over here, that's what's happening with Rabbi Abba. Rabbi Abba's story is illustrating that the fact that he was humbled, that was it. That was all Rabbi Abba needed. I mean, he didn't come with anybody else. The fact that he was humble, he couldn't withhold it. That was what had happened over here. It's a very, very important part of this. And I think for many of us in today's and age, just the fact that you need to ask for forgiveness, saying the word sorry in and of itself is very degrading, is a very, very difficult thing to say. But that's part of the process. The process of Be'eron HaChavero is taking oneself one step down in order to be able to access that. When it comes to that, we need to consider it from the other side as well. This is from the side of the person who's beseeching, who's appeasing, who's seeking. What about from the other side? So the Gemara continues, and we're not going to do the entire Gemara. I want to just do one story, one further story at the end of the Gemara. Let's just see where it starts. Okay, here we are. It's in Source 9. It's about five lines down into the story, into the Gemara. This is the Gemara again, starting at the very top of Yuma, Pezanim of Beis. It says, Rav hava posik sidra kame reb derebi. So Rav was learning some mesecht or sugya in front of Rebbe. Ayil osa Rebbe chia hada lareshe. And you know how this always happens. Somebody walks in just as he's beginning. So he says, you know what, I'll start again. Right, Rebbe chia just walked in. So he says, "I'll bar kapro adal reshe." Also, Rabbi Shimon berebi hadal reshe. And then every time he uses about start, somebody still walks in just 2 minutes in. So he keeps starting again. Also, Rabbi Chanina bar Chama Omar kuli hai v'nahadir v'nizil. And finally, Rabbi Chanina walks in, and he says, "You know, I can't keep doing this for the sake of the people." Loy hadar. He didn't start again. What happens? Ikbid Rabbi Chanina. Rabbi Chanina felt very, very perturbed. By the way, it happens to be that Rabbi Chanina was one of the leaders of the generation. So it wasn't just a regular colleague. He was one of the leaders of the generation. But at this point, Rabbi had just, you know, Rav had stopped repeating. Also, Rav Lagabe, Tleisar Mali Yomik de Kippuri. Rav went to him for 13 Erev Yom Kippurs in a row. 13. V'loif ifayis. And Rav Chanina was not willing to give in to him. Wait a second. We just learned, it's a Gemara for Reshes, that you only need to do it 3 times. So what's the 13? So the Gemara answers Rav Shani. A Rav is different. What does that mean? What does Rav Shani mean? What's Rav? Who's Rav? Who's the Gemara saying is Rav?
Rav
Chanina was right. Okay, so you mean to say, Rav Chanina, so let's read that way. Rav Chanina is the Rav, and therefore, for the sake of his Talmud, right, because of a particular educational purpose, the way you're reading it, as I'm hearing over here, for educational purpose, there's something else, there's some other value that he's doing, and that's why he's withholding. Right, that might be, is that what you're saying? No, that's not what you're saying? What else could it be? Okay, so it might be that the person that he insulted is so important that despite the fact that there's regular clause limiting what you need to do, over here you need to go that extra mile. So it happens to be that what you just said are two sides of the coin that Rashi and the Rambam indicate. The Rashi says, Rav Shani machmir hoya la'atzmoy. He himself, Rav machmir la'atzmoy means to say that Rav himself felt terrible. And therefore he himself, even though he knew he could have stopped it 3 times, he went beyond that. That was a personal thing. And by the way, that might mean that's something which could relate to us. Meaning, if you want to go that extra mile, and the Rambam says, no, at the very end of the Rambam and then at the top of the next page, then the bold, when it comes to your Rebbe, then you need to go beyond that. It's not about you, it's about him. Because he represents something more. That's what the Rambam and the Rashi do. Both sides of the coin, both particularly relevant. The question that really is at the end of this Gemara is the most practical outcome of this Gemara. By the way, all this is Paskin and Shulchan Aruch. The Shulchan Aruch is very clear. The three, the ten, the whole business. There's two things which we need to address. And that is the following. Number one is hidden crimes. This is something which happens all the time, and that is that. Somebody does something to a friend behind their back. And whether it's overtly, not overtly affects them, or they hear about it, or they don't hear about it. But now the question is do you go on Erev Yom Kippur and say, you know, by the way, you want to know what I said about you 3 months ago? So what do you do in that situation? On the one hand, you need to explicate what you did in order to achieve forgiveness. On the other hand, by saying it, what you're going to do is you're going to essentially open up the wound and you're going to maybe even tell him things he didn't know you said, and it's just going to make things worse. So what do you do in that case? Very interesting machlokas. The Chavetz Chaim, based on earlier poskim in the Bach, says, sorry, that's part of the process. Meaning part of the process is if you hurt people, and you don't know who listened to that, you don't know where they went, you don't know how he was affected by that. He could have spent months trying to work out why is that people are not inviting him for Shabbos or whatever else it is. And you need to come clear. You need to come clear. Says the Chavetz Chaim. How is Rav Yisrael Salanter? This is more in general practice, or perhaps what a lot of people can manage today. Rav Yisrael Salanter says the following. This is in source 3 on page 4. This is the next round of counting. Rav Yisrael Salanter says, "V'nuchal yashiv al pi mashi shamati al agoyin v'hatzadik Rav Yisrael Salanter." This is Rav Moshe Sternbach quoting him. Sometimes when you ask your friend for forgiveness, you're committing an avera. Why? Because you're telling that person what you did, you're hurting them. And if he didn't know that it was his friend who was doing this to him, he's all right. How can you put your friend into that situation? So he says, Rabbi Yisrael Salanter, what you should do is you should go on Erev Yom Kippur. You should say to the person, I'd like to ask forgiveness for everything I did, anything I possibly could have caused. And you make it more general. And that, in that way, what you've done is, you've covered what potentially could have been without hurting the person for things that they didn't know you necessarily did. Right? That's what Rav Yisrael says. This in general is more of a common, or almost is an easier thing to attain. Let me just, just the shortest time, I want to just leave if that's the right questions just towards the end. But what Yisrael is saying also helps us understand another thing, and that is that in general, this Gemara that's talking about forgiveness, is that a mitzvah which is applicable at a particular time of year, or is that something which should be really, should be 365, 24-7? Well, everything we've discussed, this Gemara about how you be meratzeh your friends and the whole business.
365.
So it should be 365, it should be a 365-day mitzvah. Which is funny by the fact that the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch paskin it in the halachas of Yom Kippur, right? On Yom Kippur, in Hilchos Tshuva, the Rambam, and Tafresh Vav, which is in the center of Hilchos Yom Kippurim. Mm-hmm. And the Gemara even talks about, remember Rav was coming in Vamali Yom Kippur, that he came on Erev Yom Kippur. So why does this become, why is this relegated to being a Yom Kippur halacha? This should be a halacha that applies in the middle of Cheshvan.
That's because Yom Kippur is the
binyanah
for all tshuva.
Okay, so Yom Kippur represents tshuva. Right, but if you take it one step further, says Rav Moshe Sternbach, think about the sensitivity over here. Imagine that you come up to your friend and you just badmouth him and it's the middle of February. And you come up to him and you say, you know, I want to, if there's anything I could have possibly done to you. Right, I think, you know, you've essentially, according to the Rav Yisrael, you've undermined everything you're trying to achieve. What the system of halacha does is, in the sensitivity, is it creates a day, Erev Yom Kippur, that people can come to their friends and talk about mechila, and it therefore creates a veil, a safety net, to be able to come to your friend who you might have, in a hidden way hurt, and say this, and he's not going to be scratching his head, she's not going to be wondering why it is. The system of halacha creates that safety that Rav Yisrael is talking about, says Rav Sternbach. Unbelievable idea. That is sensitivity to this in order not to hurt a person further. That's ad kedei kach. Now, let's push this one step further, and with this we'll close. On the receiving side, at this point in time, who's got the joystick, who's got the steering wheel, who's driving the relationship over here is the person who's supposed to be giving forgiveness. Now, because at this point in time, the onus is totally on the person who has to come, and the three people, and the whole business. It's a very difficult thing. So says, understandably so, by the way. You put yourself in that place. But says the Rambam, and there's a very important point in source 4, on volume page 4, Hilchos Tshuva, Asur al-Adam liyos achzari v'lo yispayes. A person should not be cruel and refuse to be appeased. Let it go. When somebody comes to you, let it go, says the Rambam. Don't play a power game. Don't hold on. And I've had this just this year. There was a very difficult situation. Somebody was holding on and, you know, holding on for the sake of power. It's very, it says the Rambam, don't do that. It happens to be that Agos Mamonius points out one exception where a person is entitled to hang on. This is a very, very scary case. Agos Mamonius on the Rambam says, Yerushalmi beperek achovel, this is in source 5, Gar Sinon, ha da'at omar shetzorich limchol, kishaloi hoitzi loi shem ra. Aval hoitzi loi shem ra, ein lemechilo alamis. A person who badmouths the person falsely in public, that person who's insulted doesn't have to let go, even after three times. So, and this is Paskin Shulchan Aruch. That's terrifying. That's terrifying. What essentially that you were saying is, be so, so careful with Motzi Shem, because the person doesn't need to. The Poskim say, the Magen Avraham says, you should just let go. And the reason why you should let go is the following. Very, very important. He is entitled to, halachically, a person can hold on. If a person, why is this, by the way? Why is the Hagos following? Why is you Shlomi saying this?
It's like
you can't take it back. Meaning, when it comes to Motzi Shem, when you've done something to somebody in public, you know, you can say all you want now. In the end of the day, you've hurt that person in a way where you can't pull back all those feathers and put them back in. You can't put the cat back into the bag. So what's going on over here? So you don't have. They said that person doesn't have to forgive. However, what I'd like to conclude with is the following. The reason why it's so important to forgive. I came across this fascinating article, which is an excerpt from a book called Triumph of the Heart, Forgiveness in an Unforgiving World, about a person called Dr. I think it's Ewan or Ewan. Ewan, thank you. I was just an unbelievable thing. He was a person who dealt with, he was a surgeon, and he dealt with people who were burnt, like burn victims. And one of the techniques that he employed before before surgery was that he had used hypnosis in order to be able to allow forgiveness, in the person's mind to release forgiveness. And you think, why is that? He says it's so powerful. He points out, and we have the whole paragraph over here, as in the second paragraph in Source 5, as Ewan continued using hypnosis to expedite his burn patients' recoveries, he added an unorthodox practice to his regimen. He talked into his patients about anger and forgiveness. He noticed that people coming to the ER with burns were very often angry, and not without reason. They were, as he put it, all burned up, both literally and figuratively, hurt and in severe pain due to their own reckless mistake or someone else's. As they described the accident that left them burnt, their words were tinged with angry guilt or blame. Is that interesting? I mean, it's like everybody is coming into the ER, he knows, has anger, and that anger doesn't have to be somebody else. It could even be themselves. And he was able to talk them through it, and he was able to, by allowing them to release that anger about themselves or somebody else, he found that their recovery rates were much higher. The skin grafts took faster, and the earlier he was able to get it, get them as close to the burn as possible, the more successful it was. Because ultimately, this article carries on, very fascinating. It's a very long article about much research done in the last 20 years. But on this particular point is that ultimately, who suffers from that anger most? It is the person themselves. That's what's happening over here. What he's saying is that when a person's bearing a debt of anger or something has happened and a person's angered or pained, ultimately who's suffering? When the other person's asked for forgiveness and you're refusing or there's been an opportunity, who's the person carrying that every day? Is themselves. So what the Magen Avraham is saying is that it's true. There are times when you're entitled not even to forgive, even after three times. The Magen Avraham says you should let it go because ultimately you're only hurting one person, and that is yourself. If you want to take it one step further, it might be that you're hurting even more than that. And this is a story I heard, and we'll close with this. I heard from a Talibam two Shavuot Shuvah drashas ago. Very, very powerful story. It's about the Magid of Zlotchev, Rabbi Yechiel Michel. And in his youth, he was learning at the back of a Beis Medrash in a particular town. And he was watching. What happens is that it was Friday night after davening, and a person comes in to the rabbi of the town, and he says to the rabbi, he says, Rebbe, he's crying, and he says, I'm a wagon driver. Something terrible happened to me today. And the rabbi of the town said, well, what happened? He says, my job is to bring things to transport things from one city to the other. That's how I make my living. And this Erev Shabbos is coming from one marketplace to the other. And it was in the woods, and I didn't realize the time. And by the time I realized, it was really dark. And I came in, and I brought the wagon in over here, and I realized that I broke Shabbos, and now I'm here. What do I do? He's distraught. So the rabbi said, you know what you should do is you should go out to the marketplace on Sunday, and go buy a pound of fat and make candles that'll be used in the shul next Shabbos. Right? That's the way you should go, kapara. So the wagon driver was so happy that there was something he could do. But Rabbi Yechiel Michel was sitting in the back of the Beis Medrash, and he was scratching his head. He's like, Shabbos, there's a very high price to pay for Shabbos. This sounds very nice, but at the end of the day, Shabbos! So the next Shabbos it happens, the wagon driver comes into shul very proudly carrying two candles, which, in those days, when you didn't have, the electricity, the Shabbos would light Erev Shabbos. That would be the way. That would be the shalom of Oinek Shabbos coming into Shabbos in the shul, and the Shabbos is about to light them, and a dog runs into shul, and of course they're made out of not beeswax. What they're made out of? Fat. Dog jumps up, picks up the two candles, and runs out. The wagon driver is sitting at the back of the shul, and he's. Doesn't know what to do. So he comes to the rabbi, one of them, he's crying. The rabbi says, don't worry, next week. So he comes and he brings in the two candles, he puts them there in the shul, and the shamash lights and they blow out, just before Shabbos. So the next week, the shamash comes and puts them in early, and they melt down before Shabbos starts. And so the rabbi realizes something's going on. So he says to the poor wagon driver, go to the town of Mezhebush, go to speak to the Baal Shem Tov and see what you can do. So the wagon driver goes over to Mezhebush, and the Baal Shem Tov says, don't worry, he says, bring your candles next week, it'll be all right. He says, I just want you to send to me, Rav Yechiel Michel is the man who's at the back of the basement, send him to me. So off he sets, this young man who was watching the whole episode at the back of the basement, and he's on his way, And he sets out, and everything that could go wrong goes wrong. The axle breaks three times. The spare wheel is no longer. He gets lost in the wood. He comes out the wrong place. And it's late Friday afternoon, and it comes into Shabbos, and he's stuck on the side of the forest. He leaves the wagon, and he walks in. An hour after Shabbos, he walks into the Baal Shem Tov. And the Baal Shem Tov turns to him, and he says, Rav Chiel Michel, he says, don't you have Rachmanus on Amcha B'nai Yisrael? Can't you let it go? Can't you let him light his candles? Can't you let him have a kapara? You see, because in the end of the day, the forgiveness which is over here, which a person holds, the power they wield with that, is something which is a burden which they hold in themselves and hurts themselves. But also, ultimately, in the end of the day, it's also something which can hurt others. Therefore, in the end of the day, it's a very subtle and very sensitive process. But it's something which is very much kedai, very much as we enter into this time, this very special time, that we should all let go. I'd like to close with the words of the Ben Ish Chai. He would say Eri Yom Kippur the following. He would say that there was a minag in Baghdad, and this is in the last source, in source 8, Batoy, in the middle of the paragraph on the right, Batoy Shachazon Yachriz, Koidim Kol Nidre Loimar. Every Kol Nidre, the Chazon in Baghdad would get up and say, Raboisai, Timchalu Zeloze. Please, Raboisai, just let it go. Vayomra Kohol Mochalmu. And everybody in the shul would stand up and say, we forgive. Kedei she yisorer oiso shah sanigoria lamala al Yisrael, dova biyitamatov, v'chein hinagdi be'ezas Hashem yisborach pod. And he says, that's what the minag is. And he goes and he says, before you go to shul on Erev Yom Kippur, kiss your parents, kiss your children, and say, please forgive me for this year. And we should be able to miss Hashem enter into this year with a gemar v'chasim atayvah. ולכנן בהקש אמר אצל הקדוש ברוך הוא, לזעקוי סס ישראל, לפי חכי בו אין תואר מסו שנאמר, ונבו עצמן סוגי יגדיל תואר ויעדיר.